Hi guys, this is Siobhan. Enjoy the special episode we have for you for this holiday weekend. Dreamgirls Part 2 is coming soon, so keep an eye out for that. Have a great weekend and happy Easter. Hi everybody, welcome to an episode of 411. This is Siobhan. I am here with our friend of the pod, Bob.
Hey.
Welcome back, Bob. If you guys remember, Bob was our guest on our episode on The Craft. So Bob knows a lot about witches and dark things, but he also, I don't know if you could tell, he's a huge nerd. And he also...
Wow, shots fired.
Shots fired, and like myself, also a huge nerd, and loves comic book movies and comic books and the canon in general. Wouldn't you say, Bob?
I would agree. That is a valid assessment of who I am as a person.
And we just watched The Emancipation of Harley Quinn.
We did.
Which isn't an episode which, you know... I totally pause. We do 90s and early 2000s, but in the 90s, there was an amazing animated TV series that was Batman, the animated series.
Oh, man. I don't think a lot of people give credit for Batman, the animated series, for giving birth to Harley Quinn.
No. Was she given birth to... No, you would know this better than I. Was she given birth to in the TV series or the comics?
So Harley Quinn did not exist... in the Detective Comics, the DC Universe, until Batman the Animated Series. She was seen as kind of a way to soften the Joker.
I did not know this. I just assumed she was someone that was a part of the comic series.
No, she came in. She came in for the television series, and she kind of was a runaway character. Another example. This happened a lot, actually, in the Batman the Animated Series. Another example of this is Mr. Freeze. So
he wasn't in the comics either?
No, he was in the comics, but the most accurate cinematic portrayal of Mr. Freeze...
Wasn't Arnold Schwarzenegger?
It actually was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, okay.
That's the irony.
There's only one. Isn't there only one cinematic portrayal?
There's only... Well, no, because the Batman movie, I think Mask of the Phantasm has...
Oh, the cartoon.
Yes.
There is a cartoon version of Batman the Animated Series, and there was a couple iterations of Batman, and I think there was a couple different animators that did it. We're doing this off the cuff, so we didn't really research this, guys. But what we in our minds think of Batman the Animated Series is, I believe it started around like 92, 93.
If I had my phone, I could tell you, but I don't know where my phone is.
Your phone is connected to the charger,
which is not behind you.
I
disconnected it from the charger.
Okay.
Oh, it's in my pocket an idiot.
And yeah, so I'll let you look that up. But so this was it was Batman proper by himself. The main was obviously the Joker, who was voiced by Mark Hamill. I believe I watched something where in the pilot episode, it's considered lost media because someone...
95.
Oh, wow, 95, it's that old?
Yeah, 95.
Yeah, apparently Mark Hamill wasn't the original voice of the Joker. It was someone else, but I believe those episodes are considered lost media because Mark Hamill then redid those episodes.
You are probably correct.
I know there are some lost media of the original Joker voices, but Mark Hamill, surprisingly, for those of you who don't know, in the 90s had like a really big, and still does, career as a voiceover actor.
So I have a fun Mark Hamill fact. There is a film, I believe it is called Sleepwalkers. It is about an incestuous cat couple, cat werewolves.
Oh, so they are cats. They're not cat owners. They're themselves.
They are people who can turn into cats.
Are you jealous of these people?
Very much so. Not this couple in particular because they're incestuous. I don't know if I pointed that out.
Oh. But what are they, brother and sister?
Mother and son.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It's a bit much.
Yikes.
I mean, unless you're really big on Pornhub or something. In which case,
no.
Apparently, that's your thing.
Yeah, not to offend anybody, but...
Oh, no, no kink shame. No kink shame.
No kink shaming, but... personally a yikes. Sorry for anyone who...
But Mark Hamill plays an uncredited police officer in the film.
Now, is this animated or live action?
Oh, no, this is live action. I'll have to show it to you one of these. I can't remember
what... You don't have to. You don't have to show it to me.
It is a quality film in its own right. I think it's...
Show me Mark Hamill's cameo.
That's fair. But Mark Hamill was kind of like... after Star Wars, he didn't really have a career as an actor.
Well, that's what I mean. He had this, like, then ended up having this really big voiceover career.
Right. And specifically with Batman the Animated Series. And they wanted to soften the Joker, but they didn't want to do it in a way where they just made the Joker soft. So they gave him Harley Quinn. And she was supposed to be the comic relief for...
And she was,
yeah,
though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But that was her whole role.
Mr. J.
Yes. Her whole role was to balance out the Joker, because they were trying to go for... A lot of people don't know this, but... the original version of the Joker was not meant to be Batman's foil. He was meant to just be a one-off villain. And in, like, the original, like, 30s era Batman comics, he was, like, almost like Victor Zsasz.
Now, was the Joker first seen in Detective Comics?
Yes.
And the same thing for Batman?
Oh, yeah. We're talking, like... Hitler was in power in Germany at the time when this...
Oh, no, no, I know, yeah. It's like they're very old, just like kind of as old as Superman. Like, because we always see, like, every once in a while the first issue of Superman goes on sale. Yeah, and the same thing with Detective Comics.
For reference, Superman is almost 90 years old.
Wow. That makes sense, though. I'm actually surprised it's not even older. Yeah.
But yeah, so we watched The Emancipation of Harley Quinn. Or Birds of Prey, rather.
Yeah.
But
it really is The Emancipation of Harley Quinn. It really is. It's Birds of Prey for the last, like, 15 minutes of the movie.
I would make the argument that it was the studio's effort to apologize to Margot Robbie for Suicide Squad. The original Suicide Squad, not the new one with Sylvester Stallone playing a fucking shark.
If you guys watch this trailer, the shark... in the new Suicide Squad, is Sylvester Stallone.
It's amazing.
It is. He told me, and I didn't believe him, and he made me watch the Red Band trailer, which is the trailer you guys need to watch, and it is amazing.
It's James Gunn.
It's, and they say, what did they describe him as? The horribly beautiful mind of James Gunn.
The horribly beautiful mind of James Gunn, yes.
Yes, because, which is perfect, because he obviously went through a lot of controversy the last couple years. So he should be considering himself lucky that he actually gets to even direct this movie.
Well, I mean, how many directors can you name that are responsible for... vital pieces of your franchise? Like, he did Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2, and not that Guardians of the Galaxy made or broke.
Yeah. There's Jon Favreau.
Yeah. I mean, but Jon Favreau, like, you've seen, I've shown you the meme where it's like it's the picture of the two kids playing with Star Wars toys.
Yeah.
It's like Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau writing the Star Wars universe, and it's just two kids playing with Star Wars toys. Like, just having the best time.
Uh-huh.
We're
about to open a beer, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
Didn't that sound nice?
I'll have to pop a compressor.
Some ASMR for you guys.
I'll have to pop a compressor on that to to reduce those spikes. Ooh.
And reduce those as well.
My mic is a little quieter than yours.
Okay.
But the whole point is that... James Gunn has been given this opportunity to kind of create his vision of what a superhero movie should be.
And we were saying, from what we saw, because the first Suicide Squad is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And out there.
It's a bit much.
And the rumor is that it was a much darker vision. And basically, DC or the powers that be were like, no, we want it to be funny. And they reshot a lot of scenes to make it quote-unquote funnier. or as Bob kept comparing, this movie, Birds of Prey, kind of like to Deadpool. Yeah. Like that sort of comedy, that sort of vision of filmmaking where there's the slowdowns and the...
I brought up the 90s classic SLC Punk.
Yes.
I don't know if you've seen SLC Punk, it starts with Matthew Lillard talking about like the punk rock scene in Salt Lake City, and it kind of like skips around time. So there are moments that are quote present, and then there are times that happen in the past or like slightly in the future.
Right.
And this is a lot like Deadpool in the idea that like it starts like, hi, you might be asking yourself how I ended up in this mess. Right, the Thor Ragnarok comes to mind too.
Mm-hmm. Record scratch. How did I get here? Yeah.
Which I think is a very 90s, like that's a very 90s vibe.
Wait, can I tell you my favorite meme with that?
Yeah, yeah.
It's Michelle Obama accepting the gift from Melania Trump when they invite them to the White House after Trump was elected. And it's like, remember when Michelle gives the look to the camera and there's that great meme? And it's like,
you might ask yourself, how did I end up here?
Yes. So that's my favorite one.
But I think for me, Birds of Prey, I wouldn't call it a film. Like, if we're going to call,
cinematic film? Like,
yes.
Yeah.
If we're going to consider, like, a film
a
art.
A lot of comic book movies wouldn't be considered films. We had this discussion.
I know. But the thing is that it's a fun movie.
Yes. I laughed. I had fun.
I think they managed to capture the spirit of what they were trying to get, and it was fun. It was a good time.
That's what I mean. I had more fun watching it than I did watching Suicide Squad. I don't know if it's also me coming from like a female place, like enjoying a female centric superhero movie where all the women are like badasses, and we've only touched upon Rosie Perez has like a really big part in it as
the movie should have been called The Redemption of Rosie Perez.
She plays the main detective who's working alongside, like, and at one point works alongside of all the women, so she has like a pretty big part in the movie too. And we looked up her age, she's 56 years old,
yeah,
and probably 55 when she filmed it. And she gets to be in this action movie where she's sexy. She's, you know, I love that they made this role for a woman of, quote unquote, a certain age.
Well, I've told you, because I was telling you the whole entire time how I've felt about Rosie Perez as a young man.
Like, oh, yes.
She was my first, like, I probably one of my first, like, adult woman crushes as a youth. I can distinctly remember It Could Happen to You.
And arguably, she's hotter now.
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
Like, I and the thing is, one of the things I love is that, like, Harley Quinn, Margot Robbie describes Rosie Perez's character as basically that the movie review I was telling you about. The Alien review.
Uh-huh.
Where, like, the guy's like, I've been reviewing films forever. My wife's review of Alien is the greatest review ever. Nobody listens to the smart woman. Everyone dies. The smart woman survives with her cat. 4 stars.
Movie should be like that.
I agree. No, like I said, it's a fun movie. I wouldn't put it I wouldn't put it in the Library of Congress.
Well, no. It's fun. Like, I can see myself being kind of hungover or, like, just needing a pick-me-up or something to put on that, like, will make me laugh or whatever.
Yeah, if I was going to put on Destiny's Child, Miss Independent, and a movie at the same time, that would be the movie I'd put on.
Why would you put on a song and a movie at the same time?
Well, because if I wanted to be Miss Independent, Throw Your Hands Up at Me, that would be the movie that I would put on while listening to the song.
Well, it's true. It is very Miss. Well, And also, it's kind of funny because that song is from Charlie's Angels, and they had some songs like Barracuda is in Birds of Prey. That's in the Charlie's Angels soundtrack too. Listen,
you cannot do a movie about women's empowerment without heart.
Ooh, Barracuda.
Am I wrong?
No, I told you, we said punk men or rock men, they all respect heart.
Heart? Okay, so I'm going to tell you a story. My dad one day was joking with me. He's like, you know why I don't like 80s metal? And I was like, no, Dad, why don't you like 80s metal? This is a weird tangent. Why are we having this conversation, Dad? And he's like, because 80s metal was just being Heart. They were wearing the same spandex and singing the same octave that Heart was singing.
Had the same hair.
Yeah, and the same hair. He's like, they were just trying to emulate Heart, but they didn't give respect to Heart. And I was like, Dad, are you saying that Heart deserves respect? He's like, if you don't love Heart, kill yourself. I'm not kidding. Heart is one of my dad's favorite bands. I'm not joking.
Well, so we're from the Philadelphia area, and there's this morning show on a rock, like a 90s rock station, you know, classic rock station. 93.3
WMMR, previously Y100.
Yeah, still RIP Y100.
Although, to be fair, I think Pierre Robert is an angel.
Yes, agreed.
I just wanted to say Pierre Robert.
Oh, I've seen him in person. He hosted a concert. I was at a special concert, and
human was half as nice. No, if every person was one-tenth as nice as Pierre Robert, the world would be a better place.
I've met Kathy O'Connell and chatted with her.
But we're talking about Pierre Robert right now.
Yeah, but I'm also talking about Kathy O'Connell, who's another XPN. Oh, that's XPN.
Yeah, we're talking MMR.
But doesn't Pierre Robert do stuff with XPN?
If he does, it's tangential. He's been on MMR for like 20 something years.
I'm thinking David Dyer, I think. Anyway, but so I remember being like, I really like this like radio station because these guys are like hardcore men, like we love rock music, but they also would agree with your thing being like Heart is the best. Like a lot of people like were doing Heart back then. Like they always talk about how Heart didn't get enough respect. I was like,
Do yourself a favor, pick up the first Motley Crue record.
Okay.
Look at the outfits they're wearing. Look at their hairstyle. And then buy the first Heart record. And then look at them side by side. If you do not think that Motley Crue is just ripping off of Heart by the end of that experiment, you have failed as a human.
Okay. Guys, Google these images or go to your local record store if you have one.
There is no 80s hair metal without Heart.
Probably. And so that's what I liked about this movie. It had a really good soundtrack. I kept Shazamming the songs.
You did. I remember.
I Shazammed it like four times.
Well, I remember there's a specific moment. They're walking into the final set piece, like where they're going to finally kill the bad guy or fight the bad guy or whatever. And I was like, oh, that's Pat Benatar. And you're like, it really is.
Yeah, so these are the songs I liked. Boss Bitch by Doja Cat.
And she's hot right now.
Meg Thee Stallion, Normani do a song called Diamonds, and it samples Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. And if you guys know me, I love Marilyn Monroe.
No!
And there is a whole Marilyn Monroe segment that I 100% approve of.
Guys, for real, there was a moment where Margot Robbie was doing it was less than a tenth of a second, and it's Margot Robbie in a pantsuit.
20 seconds.
And it is a reference to a Marilyn Monroe bit, and Siobhan,
a whole scene and a whole song.
The bit
is being very disrespectful.
No, the Marilyn Monroe piece is a piece. It's a whole thing.
Oh, it's a whole thing. Yes.
The Margot Robbie thing is a bit.
Oh,
by
she's
comparison.
Doing it as a bit. Yes, she's doing it as a bit. Yes.
they did not flesh it out as much as I feel. If they had gone the whole, if they had done the whole damn thing.
No, I think it was cute. I think it was cute the way it was.
It was a nice reference, but I do believe that.
Sometimes they go too far and then it gets disrespectful. But I feel that. So I think they did the perfect amount of it.
What I'm trying to say is that if they had continued on the direction they were going, you'd have been like, yes, this is the content that I am here for.
And I like Margot Robbie, so that's the other thing too. If it was an actress I didn't like, I'd be like, how dare they? But I like Margot Robbie, so
I just meant
approve.
That like it was kind of blue balling you. I feel like if they had given you a full 30 seconds of it, you would have been much happier.
Yeah, but I think it was, but that's the thing. Sometimes there's too much of a good thing and they almost like go overboard with it where it's
I agree, but I do believe.
So I felt like it was the right amount where I got excited, but then it went back into the, because it was a fantasy sequence.
I do think you would have been much happier if it was like 5 seconds longer. Because
I wouldn't be mad.
Right. You were commenting and explaining exactly what scene it was from a Marilyn movie, and then they cut to a different thing and they never went back to it.
Well, because I had only seen that they did, like, I only saw a close-up of it, like, because I hadn't seen this movie before. This is the first time I saw it. So I knew the scene, I actually forgot the scene was there, but when I saw it, I remembered. But they'd only seen like a close up of it, and then when they panned out and she was wearing a pantsuit instead of a dress, I was like, that's adorable.
You could not shut up about the pantsuit.
Oh
she
my
was
god,
like,
I was like, that's so cute.
We were like 30 minutes into the movie from that point. She's like, oh my god, that pantsuit is amazing.
I just love that it was such a cute little vert instead of doing like something ho-ish or
no,
which,
no.
Hey, it's totally okay. It's totally okay. But that's the easy route to go. That's the easy way to make it a short skirt and to make some, like, you know, that's the easy way to do it.
No, again.
They did something unexpected.
You were like, her exact words were like, I respect the pantsuit.
I like that they did something very, I would not have expected them to make a pantsuit out of the very famous pink dress, which was option number two, because option number one was a leotard which strategically placed diamonds over her body.
And over her nipples.
And do you know why, Bob, that they had to change up the outfit?
The Hays Code?
No.
Really?
It was because the nude calendar scandal. Because you know how Marilyn Monroe, as a young upstart with no money, did for like $50 or $100, did a nude shoot. And as she joked,
this is the nude spread that was not for Playboy, but then again was eventually re-released by Playboy. Correct.
Correct. Okay. Correct. So this might
I know my shit.
Yes. So this was when this came out, and luckily the public, instead of condemning her for doing something so vulgar, she told the story of the truth, where she was like, I was a starving actress and they offered me this money and this was my only way to like feed myself, which was the truth. She wasn't lying. And people were like, oh, like, you poor thing. And it was almost like a moment where they kind of realized that like these poor women have to totally degrade themselves just to feed, like, get food on the table some days.
Well, the funny thing is when we think about, because I think you and I talked about the costuming of some of the women. You, while we were watching this, you were telling me about Sandra Bullock and the t-shirts for.
Oh, yeah, because there's a whole wet scene in this movie, Birds of Prey. But what I liked about it was that Harley Quinn, she's wearing a white t-shirt, but underneath she has a hot pink bra. So it's not like a nipple naked, like almost naked scene.
It wasn't a wet t-shirt contest
for the
dudes.
But it was still sexy.
Yeah. No. Here's the. So this.
Oh, I'm not convincing you, Bob.
Oh,
I'm convincing our things.
I think the thing that's really fucked up is that I think that there's like this weird habit of like guys need to see the actual nipple. It's like, nah, tease me a little bit.
Exactly. And I think that was like a really hot tease, and I really appreciate, because honestly, when I first saw, I was like, oh god, of course they have to put her through a wet scene where she has to be soaking wet. And then when I realized she had like a bra underneath. I was like, that didn't show anything. I was like, good. I was like, okay, good. I was like, I'm glad they didn't.
Full disclosure, though, free the nipple, ladies.
Oh, I mean, I would have been like, whatever, but I appreciated that they didn't make it super gratuitous,
no,
being
yeah.
a female-driven movie.
Well, so I think that's the other thing. So I know a lot of fucking chuds. For those of you who aren't familiar, chuds are guys who have like, oh, why doesn't Wonder Woman have boob armor? Why can't I see the shape of her body? Right? They're garbage. We fucking hate chuds.
Right.
This movie kind of had like, they have a tendency to be like, oh, the Marvel Cinematic Universe is like all woke and like, you go woke, you go broke, right? The funny thing is like, this movie is literally a girl. This, if this had come out within like 3 months of Spice World, no one would have noticed.
Oh, agreed. Yeah. But also Spice World wasn't like a runaway mega hit in the States either.
I am, again, this is not a judgment of Spice World.
I love Spice World.
The Spice Girls are like a national treasure.
Thank you. Agreed.
Like, it's complicated because, like, I want women to do whatever the fuck they want. And it gets me pissed off when something like The Emancipation of Harley Quinn / Birds of Prey is a movie that is just fun. It's not a good movie by any stretch of the word.
It's a fun movie.
It was 2 hours?
No, it was like an hour and 40 minutes.
However long we paused
it a lot.
But it wasn't as bad as the Snyder cut of Justice League,
which I haven't seen, but Bob just saw it. Bob just saw it too, so he has hot takes.
I wanted to kill myself.
He's not impressed, guys.
I literally was like, you know what? I'm okay with being disappointed. I'm going to watch Lost now.
And he made me feel like I do not need to watch the Snyder Cut at all.
You don't?
No, yeah. You made me feel like I'm not missing out on anything by watching it.
So the thing is, it's like, I don't care if a movie is bad, right? As long as it's fun.
A.K.A. this movie.
Exactly.
Like, although I don't think this movie's bad. No. I think it's fun.
Let me. I just need to put a clarification here. There are bad movies which should never be seen by anyone, and there are movies that are fun, but I wouldn't give any fucking awards to.
Oh, 100%, 100%.
And I think that people who do not respect the idea of this movie is fucking garbage, but it is a lot of fun. Like, I laughed out loud. There were some moments.
Right. I laughed out loud a lot in this movie, actually.
It's a fun movie. It's not a good movie.
I have a good example of this. A personal favorite of mine.
Okay.
It's a fun movie.
It's Cruel Intentions.
No. It's a comedy movie.
So Cruel Intentions.
No. It was come out to be a comedy. Dodgeball.
Yes.
It's a stupid, fun movie.
Dodgeball is fucking trash.
But it's the best. It's the best.
Because Pirate Steve.
Yes. Arr, you're right.
Speaking of Pirate Steve, we are not getting sponsored for this, but if you have not seen it, Alan Tudyk is playing Resident Alien on Sci-Fi Channel. He is an alien.
He's a great actor.
Alan Tudyk is amazing. Have you seen Tucker and Dale vs. Evil?
No, I think we've discussed how I know him is he played the cult leader in Strangers with Candy, and that's okay. How I know him and will forever love him, because I forever love anyone who was in Strangers with Candy.
So Alan Tudyk is probably the modern equivalent of a character actor.
I was just about to say he's a character actor. He has red hair. Yes. If you saw, well, if you know Dodgeball, he's the pirate guy, yeah. And therefore you know him in tons of stuff.
And for those of you who aren't familiar with Dodgeball,
watch Dodgeball.
That too, yes.
But, no, that's it. Just watch Dodgeball. Well, don't give them any. Don't give them any pointers.
I'm about to expand your audience. You calm yourself. Those of you who have seen Firefly, he is a leaf on the wind. He's the pilot from Firefly.
Yes, I know a lot of people. I've never seen Firefly. I know some people love Firefly.
Firefly.
We really want to get into a Firefly conversation?
We're
going to
touch back. We've mentioned the Snyder Cut. We're going to jump back because Joss Whedon.
Ah, yeah. It always goes back to Joss Whedon, doesn't it?
So Alan Tudyk, I sometimes call him Alan Two Dicks because he is that powerful. He was kind of big for his performance in Firefly, and he played the pilot who was the civilian husband of his badass wife, who was a former brown coat. And if you're into the Firefly universe, you know what I'm talking about.
I was gonna say this means something to me.
You're fine. Don't worry about it. The point is, Alan Tudyk is a fantastic actor. But anyway, so to get back to the Emancipation of Harley Quinn, this was a fun movie. Ewan McGregor is a national treasure, even though he's not ours. He's British. He's not ours.
Yeah, he's like adopted national treasure, yeah. For sure.
It's I love Ewan McGregor. The only criticism I would give the Birds of Prey, the Emancipation of Harley Quinn, is that Ewan McGregor didn't say hello there.
Yes. So
I said that like four times, right?
I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast, but during quarantine, especially during The Mandalorian this last season.
Oh, I made you watch all of it.
Every time we watched an episode of The Mandalorian, the new episode, and then we'd watch a Star Wars, R.A.P. Jessica Walter. And that's how we rephrase it every single time.
Wait, time out. We do need to address the passing of national treasure Jessica Walter,
who has been acting for decades. It wasn't just Arrested Development.
No.
I was going to tell you, we need to watch what's her movie with Clint Eastwood?
I don't know.
Play Misty for me.
The funny thing is, you were going to say this. I know her from Arrested Development and Archer.
Yes, and oh my god, and Archer. Yes.
Yeah. Mallory.
She's amazing.
But
Archer.
I made Siobhan watch all of the Star Wars.
Because guys, I'd only seen A New Hope. And what's the one after A New Hope? This is how bad I am, guys.
Empire Strikes Back.
And I saw the Empire Strikes Back once. I saw it once my whole life. But I did see A New Hope multiple times.
I'ma say it. This is the hottest take. This bitch sat and watched it all.
I did.
And wanted more.
I liked it.
No, you were a great sport for Star Wars.
I think because I had a good teacher, because you have a good...
Well, thank you.
Yes, you not only have the love and respect for Star Wars, you have a very good, vast knowledge of Star Wars.
I also think everyone should be allowed to just watch it and figure it out for themselves. If you watch a Star Wars and it's not for you, you are correct. If you watch a Star Wars and it is for you, welcome to the club.
Yes, and I mean, and that's why I always told people the first season of Mandalorian, watching it with you, I felt like I had a much bigger respect for the series as a whole because you would explain things to me.
Well, to be fair, you would pause and be like, what's happening? What do I need to know about this particular
moment? I wouldn't even pause. I would just turn around and look at you and look for your reaction to see if it was a big deal or not.
Tell your audience. How did I react to the final episode?
How we both reacted?
Well, you didn't react the way I did.
I thought we reacted very similar. We were both like crying.
No. You were crying.
Oh, well, you were. Oh, when. Okay. So when someone enters the ship at the very end of the episode.
Yes.
You start going, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Hooded.
Oh, my God.
He's wearing a hood. He's hooded. And he has this color of a saber. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He has this color of a saber.
Meanwhile, Siobhan's like, what are you talking about?
Like, what does the color mean? What does the color mean?
But wait. After that, we watch the episode, the credits roll, and the preview for the Book of Boba Fett starts. What do I do?
You freak out because, guys, the first thing I knew about him with Star Wars is that Boba Fett, this is before Mandalorian. He's not like a fair weather or whatever. The first thing I knew about him with Star Wars is that he loved Boba Fett. He has a to scale Boba Fett helmet that fits on his head, guys.
I didn't know you were going to bring that up. Fuck.
Why would I not bring that up? That's to prove to you that he already owned this before I knew him. So this shows that this was way before Mandalorian,
She's leaving out the entire shrine. Yes, I have a helmet, but I also have several other pieces of Boba Fett memorabilia.
When we see, what's the name of Boba Fett's ship?
The Slave One.
When we see the Slave One for the first time in the Mandalorian show, you're like, oh my God, Boba Fett redemption arc. Boba Fett redemption arc. Oh my God. Oh my God.
You're right. I did that.
You said that so many times. You're like, I just need a Boba Fett redemption arc.
And what did I get?
A Boba Fett redemption arc.
Hell yeah.
And now a spinoff series.
So to bring this all back to why we're even having this
who cares?
Brief episode.
This is my podcast. We can do whatever
touché.
We want.
This is Siobhan's podcast.
With Jessica. But Jessica gave us her blessing.
This is true. But
to do an episode just two of us.
I am just the penis who is here.
Yes, but this was Jessica's blessing as well. Love you, Jess.
All I'm trying to say is that going back to Birds of Prey,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it had that energy. The like Harley Quinn redemption arc.
Oh yeah. Like,
although I'm not gonna lie, if there was an Uma Thurman face sitting moment, I would have been very happy.
He kept waiting for Uma Thurman to show up in this.
Well, because no one wants to admit that
it's Poison Ivy.
Everyone wants Uma Thurman's Poison Ivy, which I fully support.
I told you. I said that was the best part of Batman and Robin.
I want Uma Thurman as Harley Quinn's sugar mama. That is the future that this liberal, this fucking leftist dreams of.
This is the time where that could happen.
You're right. So we're about 45 minutes in. What is your overall opinion of Birds of Prey, The Redemption of Harley Quinn?
I liked it more than I thought I would.
Same.
I was very happy that Ewan McGregor was the bad guy in it. I liked seeing him as a bad guy after watching him as the good guy for so many movies. Even though he didn't say hello there.
You're correct.
I like that.
Have the high ground.
I feel like Mary Elizabeth Winstead was underused.
Yo!
Was underused. Rosie Perez was used perfectly. And
you know how I feel about Mary Elizabeth Winstead. I told you all about it.
Yeah. That's why we gotta watch the season of Fargo that they're in. It's not the best season of Fargo, but you'll appreciate the performances in this season of Fargo.
Fair.
Or you could just start from the beginning of Fargo because it's a great series. The first two seasons especially. Anyway, I think it's a fun movie. I would totally watch it again. I think it's a good movie if you're like kind of, it's a Sunday, you're in bed, you're like, I just want to watch something fun and something that'll like make me happy. I think if you're a girl especially, I think this is a good movie to watch.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned like a Sunday movie that you want to watch something but you don't want to be like bogged down, right?
Right.
I agree with you. I just watched the Snyder Cut without you I'm not gonna
sounds like it. I'm not mad about it. It sounds like it.
I'm not gonna apologize.
Don't. I told you you could.
This movie, Birds of Prey, is like, I'm gonna use Star Wars as a reference. If Birds of Prey is the bright center of the universe, the Justice League Snyder Cut is the galaxy farthest from.
I don't get those references.
It's a quote that Luke Skywalker makes.
Oh, well, like, that's why we gotta rewatch the
whole thing. Are you telling me you want to rewatch Star Wars all the way?
I'd do it.
You heard it here first.
Oh no!
No, the point is that I feel like Birds of Prey, like the Emancipation of Harley Quinn, as the subtitle. The subtitle is interesting because, like, I saw Suicide Squad, and I think that I think I said this to you. I think that if I was to pick the person that represents a character, like, Mark Hamill is the Joker for me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's only ever voice acted the Joker.
Yeah.
If someone told me tomorrow that Margot Robbie is going to be voice acting Harley Quinn for the rest of forever, I'd be like, yes, that makes sense.
I would appreciate, yeah, I would, yeah, I would respect that decision.
I think that Margot Robbie's portrayal of Harley Quinn is the, if a woman were to be cast as Harley Quinn in the future and they did not, like, watch Margot Robbie's performance, I think that would be a travesty.
Yeah, I think you have to at least watch it, because that's what I was saying to Bob while watching it. I was like, the first time I ever saw Suicide Squad, it was knowing the cartoon version, it was kind of a first jarring a little bit to watch, like, be like, whoa, this isn't the Harley Quinn I know. Like,
it's really important to point out, I don't know if your audience knows, like, how much into the deep cut, into, like, the real world, like, I have read the paper version of this that you have, like, your background into comics. Like,
oh, yes, yes.
Like, you have a legit respect, and, like, you have legitimately done the homework.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you were doing, I needed a screwdriver for something unrelated, and you were like, oh, by the way, here's my Hawkeye.
Well, no, my Hawkeye. I love Hawkeye.
Well, you've, like I said, you have done the homework.
What he means is I have a whole bin of comic books. And so when, like, the new 52 started, I have a lot of, like, the new 52.
You are literally the only woman I have ever met who knows what the new 52 is.
And I love the David Aja Hawkeye series. I think it's amazing. I think it's really, I think people that I know who like comic books love it. But anyone who's kind of, like, doesn't know what that whole world is about. And even I'm, like, a novice. Like, I kind of am out of it.
You're not as much of a novice as you. You.
I'm out of it currently. Currently, I don't know what's going on.
There is a world of difference between I don't know what is currently published yesterday versus, like, I was there when the magic was written.
Good point. Yeah.
Like, there's a meme that I think about. It's Aslan from the Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah.
And it's like somebody will say something. So it's pretty prominent in the punk scene. Where it'll be like, this band is the emoest band that ever emoed, and I'm like, do not speak to me of the deep magic. I was there when it was written, and, like, when I was talking about, like, I think you and I were, you and I just watched a different, one of the Avengers, like, movies, and we were talking about Hawkeye specifically. I don't remember what it was specifically. We were like, yeah, but have you ever read the Hawkeye comic? And I was like, bitch, what?
Bob did not expect that to come out of my mouth.
Those words came out of your mouth. I was like, wait a second.
And I didn't even say that. I was like, David Aja, and, oh, who's the other Anna?
No, that was the thing. I remember specifically, you did say, have you read the David Aja arc? I was like, wait, what? I have the omnibus edition that has all of David Aja's Hawkeye stuff. And you're like, really? Where can I buy that? I don't have it.
I know, because I was showing him. I have the individual.
You bought it. You bought it by issue.
By issue. By issue. I was just showing him all my issues that are in plastic, because I'm that nerd who puts all of her comic books in plastic.
Safely stored, nerds. So yes. Do not at her in the comments.
Yeah, safely stored in a nice dry place that's up away from my cats. I can get, nobody can get into. Yes, I've, my comics literally from my whole life are in one little bin.
But yeah, no, I thought it was funny because we were watching this and you were like, so wait, is this going to be based on the comic Harley Quinn or is this going to be based on the animated series Harley Quinn? I was like, well, what do you mean? She's like, I will say the only criticism that I would have of you during the entire viewing,
yes,
is you were not aware that Harley Quinn was an animated series character first.
Yeah, I just assumed she was a in
the fact
comics.
That you pulled out like 9 issues of Birds of Prey from the time it was published.
Well, I thought,
forgives you.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I mean. I had Birds of Prey, so I thought Harley Quinn was a established comic book character.
Which is
prior to the animated series. Prior
but
to
yeah,
the animated
it
series.
Was, it
maybe
was,
like a friend, as we say in the Housewives world, a friend of, like not like a
Dorothy?
Main-
No. That has completely different cultural context.
No, we mean there's the housewives and then there's the friend ofs where they just kind of hang around hoping that they can get like a scene where they'll eventually get hired as a real housewife.
Fair.
It only happens rarely.
So,
what were your thoughts on the movie?
So, I like I said, I think over... Early on, I was a little bored. I was like, "This is gonna be a long watch, isn't it?" And then as it like drew on,
when Rosie Perez came in the picture, that's when you turned around.
Well, you're not. God damn it! Why are you gonna expose me like that? Damn.
See, I'm not wrong.
Because you were. I was like, "It's Rosie Perez," and you're like, "Why do you care so much?" And then I confessed to you my entire history of my whole thing with Rosie Perez.
If Rosie Perez was in this movie, he had a whole different opinion about it. I guarantee you.
This is accurate. I think that having watched the Snyder Cut literally like a week before watching this,
mm-hmm.
I think that more people should pay attention to the people who were responsible for this film.
Cool.
Zack Snyder, his whole, the problem with the Snyder Cut is like, ugh, everything has to be dark and sad and depressing. Everything has to be Empire Strikes Back to go back to the Star Wars reference.
Right.
And while, I actually watched Clerks and Chasing Amy recently. And one of the things that always strikes me is there's a conversation that Dante and Randall have in Clerks where they're like, what's your favorite Star Wars? And Dante says, Empire. It has the better ending. And then Randall only says one thing, blasphemy. And he points out that he ends up talking about this weird, weird political thing has nothing to do with Star Wars. He's like, you know, I was thinking about Return of the Jedi recently. And Dante's like, with the Muppets? He's like, I'm not talking about the Muppets, you idiot. And they talk about the political implications of the Death Star, too. Because he's like, the original Death Star was occupied by Imperials. It wasn't contractors or anything. But the second Death Star was under construction, which means there were independent contractors. And he's like, there were innocent people or whatever. And then this contractor's like, nah, man, a roofer listens to his heart. And I always think about that. Like, a lot of people will go to Empire as like, that's the ideal Star War.
Mm-hmm.
And while I love Boba Fett, and it is his second Star Wars appearance, because he appeared in the Christmas special, George Lucas, you idiot. The Christmas special is magic. Anyway,
I'm shocked we didn't watch it this year.
I have it on DVD.
I know, that's why I'm shocked we didn't watch it.
I'll make that happen. There's just something magical about watching a movie that is, like, generally regarded as, quote, bad because of puppets or whatever, which is what Return of the Jedi gets judged on is the Ewoks, because people hate fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Birds of Prey took characters, like, I have issues with the DC universe outside of the writing. The DC universe doesn't age well. Like, you can take Captain America, wake him up in any time period, and it's funny, right?
Right, right.
Iron Man can be in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. You have a capitalist who's like, oh my God, the actions that I have taken have been terrible.
Yeah.
It's fun. You take Thor. I am a god, and I am now here on Earth.
Well, you really could do that with Bruce Wayne, too. Bruce Wayne...
But they never do. That's what I mean. Bruce Wayne, and so it's like, oh, Bruce Wayne, how are you? My parents were killed, and now I have to protect Gotham, and I have to talk like this.
Well, that's Christian Bale that needs to talk like that.
You didn't watch Justice League.
Oh, no, I did not. No.
Ben Affleck's Batman has a special thing.
Why does everyone got to talk like that?
Oh, no. In defense of Ben Affleck is a respectable Batman.
Okay, good. Because I like Ben Affleck, actually.
Ben Affleck is totally fine. His Batman portrayal isn't the problem. They explain the voice as technology instead. He wears a special thing.
Oh,
on in interesting. His, so if he's wearing the cowl, if he's wearing the ears and everything,
yeah.
He's got like a thing on his throat that's like, I'm Batman. Gotcha. You don't know what I sound like.
Makes sense, yeah.
Right.
Like the scream voice thing.
But whenever he's...
What's your favorite scary movie?
So when he's talking, like when he goes up to like...
What's your favorite Batman movie?
Wow. Yeah, exactly. So when he goes up and talks to people, because like most of the movie is him... So in Justice League, Bruce Wayne takes on Samuel L. Jackson's role. And he's trying to recruit all of the Justice League.
Okay.
So he goes to Jason Momoa. He's like, hey, I'm Ben Affleck. I'm hot. I'm sexy. I was in indie films.
Have you seen my back tattoo?
Yeah. Will you join my squad? And like anytime he has the cowl off, it's like, hi, I'm Ben Affleck. But whenever he's wearing it, he's like, hi, I'm Ben Affleck.
Yeah, it's too much.
I'm the Batman.
Yeah, see, it's too much. It's too much.
It's a great explanation as to why he sounds the way he does. It's better than, like, I'm Christian Bale, and I am the Batman. I'm the Bat. I'm the Batman. It's just... It just sucks that, like, the best DC movies have been the ones that have literally ripped off Marvel movies.
Such as?
Birds of Prey being...
Oh.
Deadpool.
Yeah.
And again, this isn't a... It's not like Deadpool is the first movie to be like, hi, I bet you're wondering how I got here. I mentioned earlier SLC Punk. Thor Ragnarok does it. There are a number of films where the protagonist is in some sort of precarious situation. Like, hi, I bet you're wondering how I got here. I will give Birds of Prey the credit in that it does not follow the same timeline. It's not like, I bet you're wondering how I got here. And then Harley Quinn goes and explains for the next 30 minutes how she got to the moment that the movie starts in.
Yeah, they make it a lot quicker, too. If like
it happened, it was, what, 4 minutes later?
Right, which is exactly what you want. Because like at this point, if you're watching this movie, you know who Harley Quinn is. You know she was the Joker's girlfriend. And if you're not familiar with Birds of Prey, which I was going to tell you, of the new 52, my favorite was Birds of Prey.
That makes sense.
I thought those characters were the most interesting. Like, I was always a fan of Harley Quinn since, like, obviously the cartoons, because, like, I was a girl, so, like, I was, like, really, I liked any of the, like, the girl characters that came in, even though, like, I was, like, a Batman, like, girl when I was younger. Like, I liked all that, like, that's why I always say, like, gender stuff doesn't really matter. Because, like, I liked Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles when I was, like, a girl. Like, I liked Batman stuff when I was a girl. Like, did I gravitate towards, like, yeah, Catwoman, of course.
I would say that Birds of Prey is the Spice Girls without all of the overt girl power.
Yeah, well, that's, we say, like, Birds of, no wonder they kind of gave this to different titles, because Birds of Prey really is the last like 15 minutes of the movie.
yeah that, but the point is that it's still better than the Snyder cut. It is the best thing that the DC universe has produced.
I think that's a good way to leave it.
Yeah, no, yeah. That like I said, if you want to watch a DC film, if you're a fan of Batman and Superman but you're not happy with the current state of the DC universe, watch Birds of Prey. You'll be satisfied.
I was, and I like action movies and all that. I love comic book movies, as we've discussed. Yeah. I buy comic books, whatever, and I really got behind this.
You're not gonna walk away going like, this is the perfect cinematic portrayal of the comic book character,
right?
But you're going to be like, you know what?
Entertained.
This is an hour and a half or 2 hours that I'm not mad.
Yeah, it's like an hour and 40 minutes. You guys.
And again, I watched the Snyder cut. I was so angry.
4 hours, right?
4 fucking hours. You know what I did? Do you know what I did?
See, you can watch this movie like 2.5 times.
I was so mad about the Snyder cut that I watched The Hobbit.
Oh, all of The Hobbit.
All of The Hobbit.
All of The Hobbit.
And then when I was done with The Hobbit, I was still mad.
Oh, no.
So I watched Lost.
That's how mad he got. Guys.
I was so mad. I went from like, well, I need a palate cleanser. I watched The Hobbit. I'm a Lord of the Rings fan. I know the fucking Silmarillion. And I was like, I'm going to watch the worst version of the Lord of the Rings universe. And I was not sated. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch something else that disappointed me in on a level. Like, you know how I feel about Lost, right?
Yes, we talked about it.
6 fucking years of my life dedicated to that goddamn show.
I still
show.
Love that show. I don't care.
I love three
seasons. Maybe because I did dedicate 6 years of my life, so I'm like, God damn it, I love it.
I love 3 seasons of that show. The other three, I'm a little ambivalent on.
Yeah, well.
Okay,
Lost is a whole other conversation for another time, Bob.
I agree. But the point is, I just wanted to say that, like, I was so mad. Had I watched Birds of Prey instead, I'd have been like, that is not objectionable. I will put on something else afterwards. I specifically sought out things that angered me as much so that I would be less angry.
You're a funny man. That's why I like hanging out with you, Bob. You're a funny man.
But yeah, so this has been an hour.
I know. Well, this was fun. Hopefully people enjoy our little take on what we thought.
Hopefully I do. I hope so, yeah.
Yeah, we went through a lot of different Batman stuff.
I think if we're going to spend the last 30 seconds, the big takeaway I would give is watch Birds of Prey.
I would too. It's totally support you guys watching Birds of Prey.
And hopefully we'll actually be able to do one of these with The Craft Legacy.
That was our original intention.
But fuck stars.
Yeah.
But right. Anyway, this has been me interrupting. I totally paused.
Yeah, it's a 4-1 episode. We can talk about whatever we want. So thank you, Bob, for coming on. Thank you
for having me.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. We had a lot of fun today. And we are outie.